Support for WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 12th day of October 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Take a look at the cash grain situation with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And discuss the weather forecast, too. That with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll hear about working capital from Gary Schnitke. It is declining in the state of Illinois and back to about the level from 2000 to 2004. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon, the 12th day of August. December contract down 2 cents. That at 380 3/4. The March down a penny and 3/4 at 391 3/4. And the May at 398 1/4, a penny and 3/4 lower. July corn down 2 cents. That finished at 403 1/4. And December of next year at 406 1/2, down a penny and 1/4. Soy complex now, November beans, a penny and 3/4 higher at $8.87 1/2. January at 892 1/2, up 2. March at 896, a penny and 3/4 higher. In the May futures at $9.50, up 1 1/2. July at 906 1/4, 3/4 higher. And November beans of next year unchanged at $8.95. Bean meal up $2.40 at $309.30. And the bean oil at $28.01, 16 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat down 2 1/2 at $5.06 3/4. July down 2 3/4 at $5.23 1/4. The hard red July at $5.32 1/4, down 2 1/4 cents. Live cattle futures in the October down 77 1/2. That's actually 77 1/2 higher at 131.55. The October feeders at 189.30. They're up 32 1/2 cents. In November at 186.32 1/2, $1.45 higher. Lean hogs in the October at $74.27 1/2, up 45 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks to all those folks who managed to get in and make a donation last week to our radio stations. We do appreciate that. We do believe that we actually made our goals, at least for agriculture on Friday. Thanks to Mike Zuzulo for helping out with that. We'll get in contact with Mike and let him know. Again, thank you all for making your donations to willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Crude oil at this hour is now down $2.42 a barrel. It's at $47.21. Ethanol futures are up, or rather down 2 1/10 cents. They're trading $1.52 a gallon. Gasoline at $1.34 4/10 is off 7 2/10 cents today. And heating oil is down 8 3/10 cents at $1.50 7/10 cents. Natural gas up 3 8/10 cents at $2.54. Dow Jones Industrial Average is about 28 points higher at 17,019. The dollar index at 94.88 is down 0.003. And gold futures on the day at $1,162.75 are up $6.85. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Scattered sprinkles after 3 o'clock for this Columbus Day. Mostly sunny, a high of 78, breezy with a west wind at 17 to 21 tonight. Those sprinkles will continue through about 7, mostly clear, a low of 46. And then Tuesday, sunny skies in the Urbana-Champaign area, 66 degrees, west-northwest winds at 13 to 15. Will drop to a low of 42 on Tuesday night with those northwest winds at 7 to 11 miles an hour. And Wednesday, we'll have sunny skies and 68. The winds will come out of the northwest by then at 5 to 10. And on Wednesday night, clear and 43. Thursday, sunny and 70. Friday, sunny and just 62. Friday evening will drop to 38 degrees. That'll be the lowest temperature. Oh, no. Saturday night down to 37. But Saturday during the day, we'll have a high of just 57 degrees. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It's the 12th day of October. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Thanks, Kurt, for being with us today. I do appreciate that.
Well, you're quite welcome, Todd. Enjoy being a part of your program.
I also want to thank you folks there at Bates Commodities for making a donation last week. I saw that come in when we needed a little help on Friday. I do appreciate that. And getting in Mike Zuzulo's back pocket probably made everybody a little happy, too.
We enjoy that.
Anytime you can do that, it's a good thing, isn't it? That's all right. Hey, one other thing. I know that you'll be traveling, but Pete Manhart, and this will be the first time that the folks have heard about this on air, those who went to last year's Farm Assets Conference in Normal, that was on Monday last year before Thanksgiving, can attend this year. We have it set up. We're taking now, starting today, actually, online, or if you make a phone call, you can do that too at willag.org. You'll find $30 tickets to the Farm Assets Conference again this year. Pete Manhart will be on one of the panels that day. Should be a really fantastic conference. Tickets are just $30, Kurt, again this year, and we're on Tuesday this year. So for those who are in Illinois, they know the Commodities Conference has been on Tuesday for, I think, about somewhere between 15 and 20 years now. We're going to be in that place. We are replacing them to some extent, but it will be along with all of the commodity groups in the state. We'll have the Commodities Conference, relatively speaking, being taken over by the Farm Assets Conference. The price tag's gone down really pretty substantially, now just $30 for that. And we'll have a couple of panels, one on the corn, one on the soybeans. We'll be doing some other things too, Kurt. We'll take a look at some water regulations in the state that'll be really important for farmers. Talk about some of the things that they might need to do voluntarily. And we'll also talk about big data. This one I'm really excited about. The vice president of Monsanto's group, that's the crew that owns FieldView Climate Corp and Company, will be in to talk about big data, how that's collected, and how it's used. This should be a fantastic conference, and I hope those folks that are interested will go online and begin to do this right now. You can purchase your tickets there. They're just $30. When you do that, if you're online, make sure if you're buying more than one ticket that you put in everybody's name in the comments section. Or you can just call 800-898-1065. I'll give you that number a couple more times, and you'll hear it a lot over the several of the next weeks or so. But the Farm Assets Conference coming up, Kurt, I hope it'll be a good one, and we're looking forward to having Pete Manhart with us there from Bates Commodities.
Man, after all that, I'm going to have to change my travel plan.
You know, I started putting this thing together, and it just came together really well. I don't have the agenda up online just yet, but when I started really thinking about what we wanted to have, and some of the things, so that this is different than our all-day Ag Outlook conference. We still do the Ag panels, just two of them, you know, one on corn and one on soybeans. And the rest of the day we have, you know, for instance, Gary Schnitke will be there, and he'll talk about your crop budgets. And Bruce Sherrick, who is the director of the Center for Farmland Investment from TIA Cref here on this campus, or in the college. He's upstairs. He's an ag economist here in the college as well. We'll take up farmland prices, which is going to be really important, and then all those other things. And it just came together in a really neat way. I think it'll be a fantastic conference, and it's not expensive. $30 is a bargain of a deal, thanks to a whole bunch of our sponsors, too. We'll talk more about those over time. So here's the thing. I've talked a long time, but frankly, it was a really quiet day in Chicago on, I guess, Columbus Day was a good day to take off, apparently.
Boy, it was. It was extremely quiet, low volume, especially on our part. Guys still busy wrapping up some farm and taking advantage of good weather. But Funds bought about 4,000 beans, about 4,000 meal. And they were sellers about, 4,000 corn, not a whole lot of volume. You know, kind of low compared to a typical Monday. You know, USDA closed. Tomorrow we'll have the weekly reports, crop progress. We'll see if there's any sales announcements. There's some talk maybe we're doing a little bit of bean business off the Pacific Northwest to Asia. We'll see if that sales announced sometime this week. FSA monthly acres maybe on Wednesday, then a NOPA crush report on Thursday. NOPA crush report's expected to show another large crush number. We virtually slowed crush down way slow going in this fall, so they got some catching up to do. And so we'll see what those numbers give for price direction. But mixed bag here today. I imagine the trade's just kind of waiting for the next bit of news to give us some direction one way or the other.
Speaking of direction, any reason that the soybeans weren't able to hold those gains of earlier in the day?
Yeah, I think we got up to some technical resistance there at that 895. I know the high is 94.5 in November. Saw some a little bit of profit taking. Some advisory services did have some sell recommendations in through there to try to take advantage of a little bit of correction here as we go through midweek. Pick up in country movement. Guys willing to sell a little bit more here as we go through the mid part of harvest. And just no real fresh news to give the trade reason to really push the thing to the upside. So it's just a combination of things. Beans did hold in there, 1 to 2 higher. So we're just kind of range-bound, and it looks like we might be in this range-bound type of trade for, you know, next few weeks.
How about on the livestock side? Anything that we should discuss there? I saw something from Texas that talked about holding back heifers, and the grass was green down in, well, I don't know about Waco, where his wicker is, but at least in some of the pasture areas of Texas, and that they might be putting a few more head of cattle on the pastures there.
Yeah, well, Zwicker, you got to talk about goats, his goat ranch.
I know. I have to say that because I don't know that everybody knows that, but Zwicker will talk to at least you and I occasionally about his goats. He has, and I haven't figured out exactly why that is yet, but he has goats on it. Goats at the compound. That sounds like the title of a good story. Maybe we'll write one. We could have Dan White write it.
Yeah, kind of quiet. Hogs continue to hold in their pork month, even though we're killing up to 8% more pork compared to a year ago. We are seeing exports remain relatively strong. The placements and marketings is going to be quite important here as we move down the road. Good pasture conditions is keeping some of these feedlot placements a little bit slow. Then, too, some of these guys are just paying back and often through here with the big drop up in beef values in here. There's not been that aggressive that we've seen here over some time. But overall, beef numbers are tight. We expect we found a low in the beef sector, and we should move higher. One observation is China continues to be a world buyer of agricultural products. They did buy one of Australia's oldest and largest dairy farms in Australia. So we continue to believe as we get into that 2018-2020 time window that we're going to start seeing a resumption of the bullish commodity cycle.
Hey, thanks so much, Kurt. We look forward to talking with you again next week.
Okay, take care, Todd. Thanks.
Yep. Kurt Kimmel, he's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can go and visit our website at willag.org if you'd like the top story there now. The Farm Assets Conference has been scheduled, and you can purchase your tickets. Actually, if you hit that big line that says purchase your tickets, it'll take you right there. They're just $30. Or you can call 800-898-1065. That's 898-1065 to buy your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference. Just $30. It is Tuesday, November the 24th. That's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. In today's agricultural news, California has just passed a bill to sharply limit the use of antibiotics in farm animals, making it the first state to ban routine use of drugs in animal agriculture. Signed by Governor Jerry Brown on Saturday, the law bans the use of medically important antibiotics to promote growth in cows, chickens, pigs, and other animals raised for profit. Meat producers will only be able to administer the drugs with the approval of a veterinarian when animals are sick, or to prevent infection when there's an elevated risk. They cannot use the drugs in a regular pattern. The policy is more restrictive than the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's national guidelines, which do not restrict use for disease prevention. Brown vetoed a weaker bill last year. Well, more than 20 leaders and staff from the American Soybean Association and state affiliates have helped lead a fly-in organized by the Coalition for Safe, Affordable Food in Washington, D.C., that to urge senators to back the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. The legislation would establish a voluntary national labeling standard for foods containing biotechnology-derived ingredients. ASA is a founding member of the coalition and continues to serve as a guiding voice in the coalition steering committee. ASA farmer leaders and staff from Delaware, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, North Dakota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, Virginia, and Wisconsin partnered with farmers from other commodities, plant managers from food processing facilities, and industry leaders from all walks of agriculture to meet with more than 140 Senate and House offices representing 20 states. The bill has yet to be introduced into the Senate after passing the House earlier this summer with 275 votes. Let's stay in Washington, D.C., but take a more global look at the world. The Wall Street Journal predicts the Trans-Pacific Partnership will likely spur further restructuring in Japan's agriculture sector, accelerating a push towards consolidation of small farms and a shift toward premium exports. The deal sees sharp reductions in Japanese duties on pork and beef for the United States. Japanese farmers fear that will lead to consolidation as large ham and sausage makers prefer to use inexpensive foreign pork. Of the world's small farms, defined as less than 2 hectares or about 5 acres, 87% are in Asia-Pacific. Proponents of restructuring say fundamental change is essential to saving the sector from further decline. With the number of farmers declining every year and their average age now 67 and rising, even farmers acknowledge that the Asia-Pacific needs to change. And finally today, we'll come back home with the grain harvest progressing well ahead of schedule here in Illinois and Indiana. No-till producers should start thinking about their fall herbicide applications. That according to an extension specialist at Purdue. The focus this year should be on managing marestail, dandelion, and poison hemlock in corn and soybean fields, says Bill Johnson. With all the rain we had earlier in this year, we didn't really get a good crop canopy, and a crop canopy helps to suppress weeds later in the season. Johnson says in many areas, poor canopy development resulted in a lot of late-season weeds. The timing of the fall herbicide application is important, as is the choice of the product, he says. Most of the weeds farmers are likely to encounter in the fall respond better to a fall application. In most cases, a properly timed application of holier herbicides like glyphosate, 2,4-D, and dicamba from mid-October to mid-November will control weeds that emerge this fall. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Low commodity prices are quickly eating into the reserves farmers built up over the last several years. Farmers built up working capital reserves over a 6-year period that lasted from about 2006 to 2012. Those reserves have been tapped each year since then in order to keep operations running smoothly, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Gary Schnittke. However, they're still well above the average from little more than a decade ago.
And just to give you a feel of that, we, at the end of 2014, on average farms in Illinois, grain farms enrolled in FBFM, there were $588 of working capital, which is current assets minus current liabilities. And that's up considerably from 2000 to 2004, when it was averaging close to $200.
Those numbers are a bit deceiving. The spread is not $388, but in an equivalent world, more like $188 per acre, meaning today's farmer has about 50% more working capital than his counterpart of the early 2000s. That was at the beginning of this year, says Schnittke.
And we're estimating something like a $80 loss in that working capital for this coming year. So we're likely to see $80 loss, roughly, erosion in half of the working capital that exists out there.
By this coming year, he means the end of the current marketing year for the crop just harvested, and things begin to spiral from there. If 2016 is like 2015, then the working capital left on the farm will be very similar to the turn of the century period.
To come up with working capital, what you look at is your income from the farm, subtract out land cost, any changes in financing that happened during the year, along with machinery purchases. You subtract that out because that's used as a part of the part of the use of cash flow, and add back in other income and subtract out family living withdrawals.
Here's how that calculation differs across acreage classes in Illinois. On owned acres, working capital is down $11 this year from last. Working capital for cash-rented property is estimated to be down by $121 per acre, and working capital on share-rented acreage declined by $72. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Of course, this is the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Amy Sage at the Andersons now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Amy, thanks for being with us. You've been busy today?
We have been. We've really been busy consistently for a while now. So weather's been good this harvest so far, so that's been fortunate.
I suppose that's not really surprising unless, of course, things are beginning to wrap up for you. I know I traveled over to Springfield area. My brothers got finished. I know that down in Windsor they were finished. And there's a lot of corn gone. A lot of everything is completely done. We're not quite there yet here, I don't think.
Not quite, but you're right. You know, we have a guy or two finishing up pretty much every day. I guess our best estimate is that we're still going to have this week. It's probably going to be another big week. We've been seeing that with receipts so far, including today, and probably by the end of next week be wrapping up in general. So very early this year by comparison.
And have you been able to move grain out fairly quickly and being able to get trains and those sorts of things?
Well, yes, we've been putting corn out on the ground. We started, Friday, October 2nd, we started putting corn on the ground. We will put close to 4 million. We actually will have a couple corn trains coming in the latter part of the week. So that'll help make some space. But so far, the inbound movement has been much quicker than the outbound movement, which is great. I think it's been going pretty smooth for folks so far. But you can tell around the area that space is getting pretty tight now. So we'll be looking for that outbound movement.
You've got pretty good capacity there to unload. Have you had much in the way of lines?
No, actually, not so far. You know, just your normal kind of harvest hiccups here and there. But for the most part, we've actually been able to move trucks through very quickly for a majority of harvest. So that's been really good, too. The line is able to move, and I think most people have been happy on most days.
All right. And what are your bids for the day?
Yes, sir. We are 367 for cash corn. January is at 386. Fall 2016, 376. Cash soybeans, 872 today. January, 876. Fall 2016 is 870. And cash wheat at 497.
Hey, thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's Farmers' Day in Florida. On this day in agricultural history in 1492, Christopher Columbus arrived at the Bahamas. In 1810, the first Oktoberfest was celebrated in Munich. Oktoberfest originated as a horse race to celebrate the marriage of the Crown Prince of Bavaria. Today, it is a two-week festival ending on the first Sunday in October, during which more than 1 million gallons of beer are consumed at the Munich Festival. In 1914, Margaret E. Knight died, an American inventor. She invented an improved paper bag machine to make bags with flat bottoms. Knight was one of the most prolific women inventors in history, receiving 27 patents over her lifetime. And in 1965, Paul Hermann Mueller died, a Swiss chemist. He discovered that DDT was a potent insecticide. It was the most widely used insecticide for more than 20 years and helped to increase food production around the world. Due mainly to its accumulation in animals that eat insects and its toxic effects on them and those further up the food chain, it has been banned in the United States since 1972. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Mark Russo joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. He's at Earthrest Technologies in Chicago. Boy, it's been a fast harvest. It's been dry in the Midwest. Farmers have been able to get into the field really very quickly. They need a couple more weeks to finish things off. Will that happen?
Well, we see that happening at least this week as the pattern continues to feature a lack of rain across much of the central U.S., including here in Illinois, let alone much of the Midwest corn and soybean belt. We are going to see temperatures become a bit more variable compared to late. But even with that, we do not expect much in the way of significant precip from now through next Sunday and Monday. Thereafter, though, it does look like the pattern will begin to turn more active relative to late. Doesn't appear right now getting into any kind of wetter than normal pattern, but overall it does look like there will be some storm systems tracking from the Pacific across the Intermountain West into the central U.S., and that will allow for some opportunities for precip here. So as a result, some slowing down of harvest progress next week, but it's going to take a while for that to really become any kind of issue.
It's been warm for October as well. Are we going to cool down?
Well, cooling down meaning more variable from a temperature standpoint. In fact, we do see one Canadian air mass coming in over the upcoming weekend, and that will send temperatures down into the 40s, even some 30s across areas of the northern half of the Midwest coming up centered on this upcoming weekend. But after that, that looks to be followed by several days of quickly warmer than normal temperatures. So a bit of a roller coaster ride here coming up. Again, that's different than what we've seen, but no indication of face here in switching to any kind of unseasonably cool weather, at least for the next couple of weeks.
Soybean producers in Mato Grosso would like to get a rainfall. They've been awfully dry. Anything there?
Well, for the next 2 weeks, we see very limited rainfall. But beyond that time frame, kind of in around November 1st, that's the window of opportunity for more frequent rain development across Mato Grosso. We're starting to see that in some of the longer range computer models. In addition to that, we did a study last week that showed even during the driest Septembers and Octobers of the past 15 years, rainfall tended to become much more normal and more frequent by around November 1st. And so the fact that those two can support each other, we're calling for a return to a better rainfall prospects in Mato Grosso about that time frame.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us today, Mark. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo, of course, is with Earthrest Technologies. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do visit our website at willag.org. You can always hear all of our ag programming there. Anytime you'd like, on demand, in its entirety. It's at willag.org. There's also a way to buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference that's coming up in late November, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Should be a great event. Tickets tickets are just $20, or rather $30, or you can call 800-898-1065. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason.